Adventure Box Max presents The Day I Say No, written by Anne Calmels, illustrated by Ewan Blaine. Chapter 1. Tim Love. I dropped my backpack, sheet music and all, on the hallway floor and raced to the living room. I switch on my console and 2 minutes later, I'm ready to play. Finally, it's Wednesday, and I've got time. Yes, I glance at the clock, 6:49 p.m. That gives me exactly 41 minutes before I have to set the table at 7:30 sharp. Schedules are no laughing matter as far as Mum is concerned. She always says it takes serious planning to be a single mum with two kids. One in year 6, me, and one in year 9, my sister Lisa. But really, it's Lisa who needs the planning. Her bedroom is a shambles, and according to Mum, she doesn't use her time well to study for her end-of-year exams. Grades are serious business for her. So are video games. I'm allowed just 30 minutes a day, only after homework and before dinner. No exceptions. After dinner? Forget it. It's piano practice, then shower and teeth, then bed at 9, reading for half an hour, then lights out. And obviously, no playing during dinner. Mum peeks through the door. I freeze. Please don't ask me for anything. I hope that she'll say no more than, I'm back. I'm back. Bingo. And now, abracadabra, she'll disappear. But no such luck. She walks in. Did you have a good afternoon? How did it go with Mila? Yeah, great. Don't say yeah, Tim, love. Yes, it was nice. In my head, I say to myself, and now, Mum, love, could you leave me to play in peace? And how was the piano lesson? Yikes! She's sitting down now. I feel desperate. Quick, find something to say so that the discussion doesn't drag on for too long. The teacher thinks I've made a lot of progress. Truth is, my playing was disastrous because my mind was on the console. My strategy doesn't work. Mum keeps going. Have you done your homework? Yes, this afternoon. Would you like me to take a look at your presentation? No, I'll be fine, all good. Can I play now? I glance at the clock. It's 6:58 p.m. Mum finally stands up, but instead of walking to the door, she comes up to me and strokes my hair. Saturday is Mila's birthday party, isn't it? Yes, that's right. We'll have to buy her a present. Got any ideas? We can go shopping after school on Friday. Or tomorrow. Help! Give me a break! Not tomorrow or Friday. I need time to play. Saturday morning? I suggest. I know that she usually goes to the gym then, but she could make an exception. You know I can't on Saturday mornings. I need that time to wind down. Me too. The console helps me to wind down, but that's not something that I can tell her. So I give in. Okay, Friday then. She kisses me on the top of my head and says, you're a sweetheart, Tim, love. Finally she leaves. It's 7:07 p.m. Only 23 minutes left. How annoying. The game begins. Suddenly, I can hear Lisa's voice. Timmy, I'm going to be using the bathroom after dinner. I need to wash my hair and do a face mask. Do you want to shower now? She's got to be joking. But without even waiting for my reply, she trots off while saying, thanks, Timmy, you're the best. I sigh as I reluctantly head for the bathroom. I'm out by 7:29 p.m. It's not happening today, or more precisely, it's not happening again. Because on Monday, I had table tennis, like every Monday, and I only got home at 7:30 p.m. On Tuesday, I went to Max's place after school so that we could do maths exercises together. He's terrible at science, so I help him. That's what friends are for. But that meant no console. Earlier today, I had to prepare my presentation on dinosaurs. And then I went to Mila's place. And then I had my piano lesson. Friday's out. Ditto for Saturday with the birthday party. That only leaves tomorrow and Sunday. In other words, 60 minutes of playing, even though I'm supposed to get 210 minutes a week. Tim, love, Lisa, come and set the table. Next stop, the kitchen. Lisa pulls her usual move. I've got to study. The notorious end-of-year exams. I don't say anything, but it gets on my nerves. I set the table alone, then I help Mum to finish the cooking. No, I don't snitch on Lisa, who plans to spend the whole evening in the bathroom after dinner, because I'm a nice guy. Because I'm so cool. I'm the best son in the world. The best little brother on earth. The best friend anyone could have. And the best in class. Or just about. And Mila's best friend too. Which is why, this afternoon, I helped her organise an escape game for her birthday party. The guests will be split into teams. Nearly half of the class has been invited. There aren't many boys, but all the girls are coming, except for Gladys, the new girl who's a bit strange and who doesn't speak to anyone. The escape game is fantastic. I'd have liked to be on a team, but now that I know all the answers, it won't be possible. And I won't be able to play on my console either. I should have told Mum earlier that I wanted to play. I should have said no to Lisa. I should have insisted that we go shopping for a present on Saturday morning. But saying no feels wrong, and I don't really know how to either. But that can change, can't it? It's probably just a matter of practice. So, I've decided. Tomorrow I'm going to start. My name is Timothy. So why do I get called all sorts of silly nicknames that practically force me to be nice and say yes? No more Timmy. No more Tim, love. Tomorrow will be a revolution. I'm going to ask to be called Timothy. And I'll say no to all questions that I'm asked without any exceptions. No to everything. If anyone asks why, I'll just say because. I won't explain that I just want more time to play. I fall asleep feeling proud. This decision is going to change my life. I can feel it. My plan is perfect. What could possibly go wrong? Chapter 2. The Strike Against Yes. The alarm clock has barely started to buzz when I jump out of bed, get dressed, run to the kitchen and prepare a filling breakfast. I am ready to test out the new Timothy. Mum walks in to get a second coffee, dressed and ready to go to work. Morning, Tim, love, she says to me, like she does every morning. And that's where it starts. I attack. Timothy. I put a spoonful of cereal in my mouth, and it goes crunch when I chew. Mum looks at me with a puzzled expression and doesn't say anything. I explain, my name is Timothy, not Tim Love. She corrects herself. Hello, Timothy. Is something wrong? Are you in a bad mood? Great, my first question of the day. I stick to my plan and reply, no. Mum stares at me, but I don't say anything else. As she leaves, she says, right, okay, if you say so. We'll be leaving in exactly 15 minutes. Don't forget anything, and don't forget to put your bowl and your spoon in the dishwasher when you're done. I don't reply anything. They're not questions. The thing is, in the morning, Mum doesn't ask many questions apart from, did you sleep well? She gives orders. Hi, Timmy, says Lisa, bouncing into the kitchen. Timothy. She bursts out laughing. What's up with you, Timmy? I'd prefer it if you called me Timothy. Oh, I see. The day's got off to a good start, I see, she says, rolling her eyes. She grabs a coffee, picks up an apple, and starts to eat it while looking at her phone. Then, like every morning, she's going to realise that she's running late, so she'll rush off and leave her dirty mug on the table. But this morning, I'm not going to clear things away for her. I get up and put my dirty dishes in the dishwasher, then I leave. At 7:30 a.m. sharp, I'm in the car. Mum is already annoyed because Lisa is late. As soon as my sister arrives and plonks down on the seat next to me, Mum drives off. Lisa, what's that on your face? Lipstick? Wipe it off now. Then she adds, tonight I want you to come home right after school and get some work done. But Mum cuts her off, then looks at me in the rear vision mirror. Mr. Timothy, I'm going to give you some money. Tonight you'll take the bus home and buy some bread on the way. Why is it always me? I'd have loved to say no, but she didn't ask a question. Luckily, Mum hasn't finished yet. Oh, and could you go to the supermarket to pick up butter and bolognese sauce for pasta? We've run out of grated cheese as well. I love bolognese sauce, but I much prefer my console. If I do the shopping and my homework, I won't have time to play. No way. So, with a big grin on my face, I reply in a clear voice, no. A huge silence fills the car. That's not very nice, Mum replies. I don't know what's wrong with him today, but he's weird, says Lisa. Has something happened? Mum asks. No, but it's always me who does the shopping after school, never Lisa. Yes, says Lisa. But I've got my ex... I know, but that's not a good reason. Mum doesn't say anything. I wonder how things are going to turn out. Then she says, OK. Lisa, you'll go instead. What? My sister cries out indignantly. But Mum... Getting no response, Lisa turns around and looks daggers at me, then exclaims, Timmy, you're... I interrupt her. Timothy. You're nuts, says Lisa with a big sigh. I say nothing, happy as Larry. This has been a huge success. I've got what I wanted. Tonight, I'm playing. After that, no one speaks, not even to wish me a good day when I get out of the car in front of the school. Chapter 3. The No Festival. Students fill the footpaths, and I spot my friend Walid chatting with Erwin. I walk towards them. Hi!
Hi!
They say, doing okay? I hesitate. I'm supposed to say no. I almost say yes. No. Both of them look at me, surprised, and wait for me to go on. I say nothing. Have you got a problem? Asks Walid, turning serious all of a sudden. No. In fact, I've never felt so good in my life. Phew, you got me worried, says Walid. But you're smiling, so that's cool. We chat about yesterday as we go into the schoolyard. To avoid getting any questions, I make sure I'm the one asking them. It's easier that way. The problem is that I keep meeting students who ask me questions like, you all right? And every time I reply, no. Everyone looks at me confused. I feel a bit stupid. Walid senses that something's up with me, so every time he explains that I've decided to play a silly joke today. Walid's a great friend. But with Mila, things are more complicated. When I reply no to her, you okay? I can see that she's worried. I feel tense. I have to keep it up, but acting this way with her makes me a bit sad. She doesn't have time to ask me what's happening because it's time to go into the classroom for our English class. I sit down at my spot next to Walid and Mr. Liotti begins the lesson. Suddenly I panic. How stupid of me. I forgot one thing last night when I made my decision. The teacher is bound to ask me some questions. What am I going to do? Maybe I could make an exception and reply something other than no. But no, if I start backing down already, I'll never get rid of this terrible habit of saying yes. So all through the lesson, I slump down low in my chair and look down at my pen so that I'm not questioned. And it works because Max keeps raising his hand to answer questions. He's good at English and he saves me. But at the end of the lesson, Mr. Liotti speaks to me. Timothy, can you come to the blackboard? It's time for your presentation. I breathe in deep and look straight ahead. Then I say, no. Everyone goes quiet and looks at me. Even Gladys stares at me with her dark eyes as if she wants to cast a spell on me. Maybe she's a witch. A deadly silence hovers over the class. Suddenly, Wally bursts out laughing. But the teacher doesn't laugh. He can't believe his ears. Walid, stop laughing. Timothy, can you come to the blackboard? No. You haven't finished preparing your presentation? I clench my teeth because, as well as spending 2 days working on it, I was the one who volunteered to do it. No. Ouch. He'll think I'm lazy now, that's for sure. That's not serious, says Mr. Liotti. Would you like to present what you've done so far, even if it isn't finished yet? No. The teacher scratches his beard. I can see that he's thinking, and all the students are waiting to see how he'll react. I've never been as rude as this before. Then you can present your work next week. Does that sound like a good solution? No. It's really very hard to keep going. But after the stress at the start, it begins to get quite funny. I can even see Gladys smiling. I must be dreaming because she never smiles. Can you explain your attitude to us? No. Why don't you want to do your presentation? Because... The teacher breathes in deeply. I can tell from his voice that he's irritated, and I have to say, I really don't blame him. Then you'll stay after class and we can have a chat together, okay? No. I'm going to get in trouble. I can feel it. Mr. Liotti's voice gets louder. Timothy, that's enough now. Are you trying to get attention? No. Except that the fact is, the answer is yes. All of a sudden, I really feel like laughing. Maybe it's nerves. Do you find this funny? I snigger as I reply, no. The teacher loses his temper. It's not something that happens often, and never with me, because I'm a kind, polite, hard-working, cooperative student. Your attitude is unacceptable. Go and see the head immediately. Matilda, please accompany him to the office. I get up as my classmates look on in astonishment. Mila gazes at me worriedly. I wink at her as if I'm super relaxed and because everyone's eyes are on me. But my heart is racing like mad. I join Matilda and we go out to the corridor. Chapter 4. Something's Wrong with Timothy. Once I'm outside, I'm much less confident. Matilda doesn't speak, nor do I. I feel really stressed now. It's the first time that I've been sent to see the head. In her office, I feel dreadful. I feel that this whole situation will come to a nasty end. Gone is the model student. I'm in the process of ruining my reputation. First of all, she expresses concern. Is something wrong at home? No. It's a very shy no, because I'm really very bothered. I've been lying non-stop since this morning. As my answer doesn't sound very convincing, she tries again. You can talk to me, you know, and I won't say anything to your mother. It will stay between you and me, if you like. Do you want to talk to me about something? No. Are you sick? Are you feeling unwell? No. Do you want me to call your mother and ask her to fetch you? No. She gets up from behind her desk, goes to the window and looks outside. By the time she turns back towards me, her face has turned hard. This attitude is inadmissible. You understand this, I hope. Boy, oh boy, I close my eyes so I don't have to see her looking so severe, and I murmur, no. She looks at me, suddenly tired, and sighs. Can you tell me why you reply no to everything, like a parrot? I'm quite aware that I'm going too far when I stick to my decision and reply, with a lump in my throat, because... Timothy, you'll come back here after class. I'm going to call your mother, and the three of us will discuss this together. Ouch! Double ouch! I feel sick. And as she hasn't asked a question, I say, yes. Silence. The head tells me to leave and to go have lunch. It's a triple whammy. Tonight, a crisis meeting, and I won't be able to play again. Nothing is turning out as planned. It's the opposite of what I hoped for. I head for the canteen in despair. I feel exhausted, and I have a craving for chips. Please let there be chips on the menu today. Mila is alone at the entrance. Haven't you eaten? I ask her. No, she replies. I was waiting for you. How did it go? Badly. Want to tell me about it? No. You're annoying, she sighs. We go inside and pick up trays. There's no queue and... Hooray! There are chips! When we sit down, so that I don't have to reply no and annoy Mila, I tell her all about my presentation on dinosaurs, except that I don't have any time to eat my chips and they get cold. And then the worst thing happens. While I'm speaking about the Lociceratops rangiformis, she asks me, Aren't you eating your chips? My heart breaks. There's a long silence. I end up replying, my voice as shattered as my heart. No. Will you give them to me? No. Listen, Mila bursts out. If that's the way it is, then I'm not speaking to you any more. She gets up right away and stalks off. Impossible. I can't lose my best friend. Anything but that. I run after her and call out, Mila, wait! But she doesn't stop. Mila, wait! I'll explain everything to you. She waits for me. We sit down in one corner of the schoolyard, and I tell her why I'm doing what I'm doing. I speak to her about Mum and the half hour of console. I also tell her about the nicknames. And I end up telling her about the no strategy, that it's only for today to make it clear that I will no longer just say yes to every favour I'm asked to perform. But I don't dare to tell her that I would have liked to take part in her escape game too. I understand, she says. Phew, I was scared she wouldn't. I also thought to myself that it wasn't at all like you not to eat your chips, she adds. I start to laugh and almost choke. You're silly, she tells me. Do you know that you seem a bit stupid? I don't reply because, yes, I seem a bit stupid, and the more the day goes on, the stupider I seem. 10 minutes before the bell goes for class to start again, Max runs to me in a panic. I've been looking for you everywhere. I didn't have time to do the science exercises, but I have enough time to look at what you did before the bell rings. Can I see your homework? No. It's really hard to say no. And it's even harder when, later, the teacher asks him for the answers. When my friend stutters and says that he wasn't able to do the exercises, I look down at my feet. I'm a really awful friend. The teacher ignores me the whole afternoon. I feel like a ghost, as if I don't exist. All my friends sneak glances at me, but not directly, and they whisper together. It's not fun at all. It will be even less fun later with Mum and the head. I count the number of minutes till the end of the day. I have to admit, my stomach hurts. Chapter 5. No? Yes! The bell rings and I can't move. I can't breathe either. Mr. Liotti speaks to me without looking at me.
The head is expecting you.
A crazy idea enters my mind. What if I don't turn up? That's a good idea, isn't it?
No, it's a terrible idea.
So I walk as slowly as I can. I knock on the door of the head's office. I hear footsteps. The door opens and she tells me,
Your mother wasn't able to come. She'll be coming tomorrow after class. You can go home.
Phew!
But my relief doesn't last. Tonight is going to be very tough. I pull a face. I can't wait till midnight. I can't wait till tomorrow arrives, even if I won't be able to play tomorrow evening. I hurry up because the bus is about to leave. I run. When I'm level with the bus, the doors close in front of me. I wave frantically, but the driver sets off. Too late. Right at that moment, I hear someone say,
Hey, Timothy!
I turn my head in surprise. It's Gladys. For one moment, I consider running off after the bus. Gladys almost never speaks, and she never smiles or laughs either. At the same time, that's normal, because she's always by herself. Walid thinks that she's got the voice of a frog. Amila says that she always wears terrible clothes. In a nutshell, she's not like everyone else. With a bit of imagination, you could think that she's an alien disguised as a girl. I stay on the spot and she joins me. I wait for her to explain why she wants to speak to me and why she isn't in the bus that she takes practically every day, but she stays quiet. I feel really awkward, so I ask her, Did you miss the bus too? She looks at me in the eyes and answers,
No, I waited for you. We can walk home together. I don't live very far from you.
That's news to me. I'd never noticed.
Does that bother you?
Frankly, I'd have preferred to go home alone. No. A lie as big as an elephant. We start to walk in silence. I think about what the rest of the day will bring. It will take me half an hour to get home. Mum will already be there. And on top of a scolding because the head has spoken to her on the phone, I won't have time to play. The bad luck will continue. Is this no business doing any good at all? Gladys the weirdo breaks the silence.
That was really cool today. I don't know why you acted like that all of a sudden, but I thought it was awesome when you said no to everything. Seriously, I loved it.
Oh, so she does know how to speak in long sentences after all. She's the only one, along with Walid, who found me funny. Feeling flattered, I reply, Thanks.
You're welcome. I like saying no, too. Otherwise, I get bored.
Really? Do you do it often? I'm only doing it today.
So you'll stop tomorrow?
No. I almost said yes. Gladys starts to laugh. Incredible. She can laugh. Finally, she says,
Your thing is a bit ridiculous. When I say no, I don't sound like a parrot. Plus, you're lying in the end. You say no when you mean yes. Don't you want to say no only when you mean no?
Well, yes, I do, but from tomorrow onwards only. I smile. Then I laugh out loud before I say, no. After a few minutes, I ask, so do you think I look a bit stupid too?
Me?
She asks, putting on an exaggerated air of surprise.
No, of course not.
Both of us collapse in laughter, and the walk goes by very quickly. Gladys is really great, it turns out. I'm sure that she'd get on well with Mila, and that she would talk more if she was invited to the birthday party. It must be hard to be alone all the time. When I arrive home, Mum is already there.
Tim, look.
Timothy, come here, please. I join her, my stomach full of fear. I had a phone call from the head. Can you explain to me what the matter is? I don't know what to reply. Should I keep on with it? She asks me if I'm all right, if I have any problems at school, if I've made a stupid bet, if I understand that I can't behave this way. I resist the desire to drop the act. There are only a few hours left to go. It will soon be midnight. She keeps asking me tons of questions, and I reply no more and more feebly. I can see that she's going crazy, not with anger, but with sadness. It seems like her eyes have gone shiny. The last question she asks before I crack is, tell me, Timothy, have I done something to hurt you? So I tell her everything, and she listens to me without interrupting. Chapter 6. Yes, of course. Hello, Timothy. I smile as I chew on my cereal. Crunch. Mum is wonderful. I'm lucky. Then she asks me, can I call you Tim? I'll leave off the love, but I'm going to have trouble with Timothy. Yes, Tim is fine. She smiles. Good. On Saturday, I'll go to the gym a bit earlier. Then I'll come by to pick you up. We can buy a present and I'll drop you off at Mila's. How does that sound to you? I nod and produce a grin as wide as my face. Lisa lurches into the kitchen and says to me, hey there, bro. Mum has spoken to her. She's actually very nice, my sister. Today she doesn't look at her phone during breakfast, and she puts her dirty mug in the dishwasher by herself. As soon as she's left the room, Mum tells me, today I want you to go and apologise to the head and to Mr. Leotti. You made a decision yesterday, and you have to face the consequences. Understood? Anyway, I'm going to have to explain to everyone that I didn't go stupid. And also, school is no laughing matter for Mum. Yes, I reply. And that's what I do. I explain to the whole world that I'm still a great friend and a great student. But I also explain that even if I say yes often, it doesn't mean that I can never say no. The whole world tells me that they understand, even the head and Mr. Leotti, but they add that it wasn't necessary to act the way I did, and that other people aren't to blame for me always saying yes when I'm asked for something. That's true. But I think that if other people know that I'm capable of saying no, or that I have trouble saying no, they'll ask me for fewer favours and will think twice before doing it. And I'll have more time after school before dinner time. I apologise to Max because I feel bad about leaving him in a tough situation. He reassures me and says, looking down at his feet, no, I understand. Then he looks at me shyly and adds, the maths exercises for Monday. I can't believe it. He really doesn't get it. I'm going to ask Erwin to help me. Which is awesome. And it's also awesome when Mila tells me, if you like, you can take part in the escape game tomorrow. Mila has got the message too. My explanations have made her think. So I replied with a smile. Thanks, but I already know the answers. But I really had a lot of fun helping you prepare them. A crazy idea enters my mind. Why don't you invite Gladys? I add. She looks at me as if I'm a Martian, and I explain. She's really nice, I promise. I can see that she's not wild about the idea. So I wink at her as I insist. No saying no. The end.